Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Aimi Organics Limited Q4 FY24 earnings conference call hosted by Ambit Capital. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Prashant Nair from Ambit Capital. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yes, thank you, Sejal. Good morning, and thank you, everyone, for joining the Aimi Organics 4Q FY24 earnings call. From the management, we have today Mr. Naresh Patel, CMD, Mr. Bhavin Shah, CFO, and Mr. Abhishek Patel, Vice President Strategy. I'll now hand over the call to Mr. Naresh Patel for opening remarks, and then we can take it from there. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Nishant. Thank you very much, everyone. I'm very happy to welcome you all on this earnings call. I would like Bhavin to start.
Yes. Thank you, Naresh sir. Good morning, everyone. We are pleased to welcome you all to our earnings conference call to discuss Q4 FY24 financials. Please note that a copy of our disclosure is available on the investor section of our website as well as on the stock exchanges. Please do note that anything said on this call which reflects our outlook towards the future or which could be construed as forward-looking statement must be reviewed in conjunction with the risk that the company faces. The conference call is being recorded, and the transcript along with the audio of the same will be made available on the website of the company and exchanges. Please also note that the audio of the conference call is the copyright material of Aimi Organics and cannot be copied, rebroadcasted, or attributed in press or media without specific and written consent of the company. Today on call, along with me, we have Mr. Naresh Patel, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Abhishek Patel, Vice President Strategy. Now I would like to hand over the floor to our CMD, Mr. Naresh Patel, for his opening statement. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Bhavin. Good morning, everyone. I hope you all are doing well. A warm welcome to our Q4 FY24 earnings conference call. Before diving into Aimi Organics' performance for the quarter and year, I will discuss current global economic landscape and prevailing industry trends. Globally, trade is anticipated to rebound in 2024 as interest rates stabilize, with hopes for downward shift this year. While inflation remains persistent, it is expected to trend downwards as we progress through the year. Overall, improved global trade is poised to stimulate economics worldwide, fostering a positive global economic environment. Turning to our industry, export demand is gradually recovering, with expectations for a robust uptick in the second half of this fiscal year. Raw material prices have stabilized, indicating stability in final product prices, with an upward bias expected in the second half of the year. Coming to Aimi Organics' performance for the quarter and full year, I am delighted to say that we've been successfully navigating through the tough industry scenario to deliver quarterly all-time high revenue from operations of rupees 225 crores, which is 21% growth year-on-year, based on exceptional 35% growth on subsequent basis. As guided in previous call, our EBITDA margins continue to grow strongly on subsequent basis to deliver strong EBITDA margins of 19.2% for the quarter. I will let Bhavin discuss the financials in detail. Let me move on to the business highlights. Starting with the advanced phosphorus intermediates business for the quarter, the business grew strongly by 18% year-on-year and 47% quarter-on-quarter to rupees 190 crores. We have been strategically growing this business segment with the introduction of large CDMO contracts to balance the business model. We are working aggressively on this front. Our extensive track record and long-standing relationships with the major customers dating back over a decade is helping us make new strides in this arena. So even on CDMO side, we will be targeting NCE market, innovator market, as well as life cycle management market. I would like to highlight that our existing CDMO project is expected to ramp up from second half of FY25 onwards with the confirmed order in hand. Moving on to the specialty business, overall business grew by 36% during the quarter. Addition of Baba Fine Chem surely help in this robust growth, but excluding Baba Fine Chem chemicals business, our organic specifically chemical business grew strongly by 18% in quarter four FY24. We have been adding various levers to our specialty chemical business, such as battery chemical as well as semiconductor chemicals. I will spend a couple of minutes on each of these niche businesses that we are building. Starting with Baba Fine Chemicals, which is focused on semiconductor chemicals, integration process has been started and it will take an own time. However, I would like to highlight that the business will see steady organic growth. This business by nature is kind of CDMO business. Therefore, in future, as we onboard a new client for existing product or new product, we will see a step up jump in numbers. Therefore, you might see steady growth some quarters, but I hope you now understand the rationale behind it. Moving on to the battery chemical business, I will start with electrolyte additives. Our commercial operations have been started during the quarter. We have firm order in our hand and supplies are expected to slowly start from quarter 2 or FY25 onwards. The ramp up will be slow in FY25, but we expect to grow this business by 100% in FY26. On FY25 base, with capacity expansion of electrolyte additives business. Another leg of this business, which is electrolyte solution, is still in nascent stage. We have collaborated with global MNC player for this business. We will disclose more detail as things move ahead. Moving on, I would like to highlight that our relentless pursuit of innovation in manufacturing complex intermediates using cost-effective technologies while maintaining superior quality continues to set us apart in the advanced pharmaceutical intermediate industry. Filing patents for our innovative process is essential to safeguard our intellectual property. And I am thrilled to inform you that we have received grant of 3 process patents during the quarter. 2 of these 3 products are very niche and complex, and we have been able to develop an indigenous process which is not only better in terms of cost, efficiency and yield, but also environmental friendly. To conclude, I believe we have navigated industry challenges adeptly in FY24, and as we progress with improved overall prospects for the industry, I firmly believe we will sustain our growth trajectory targeting for a revenue growth range of 25% for the year FY25. With that, I request our CFO, Mr. Bhavin Shah, to discuss the financials with you. Over to you, Bhavin. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. I would like to briefly touch upon the key performance highlight for the quarter and year ended 31st March 2024. And then I will hand over the floor to Abhishek for his remarks. I will begin with quarterly update. Revenue from operations for the quarters was at 224.9 crore, up 20.7% YOY basis and up 35.2% on sequential basis. The growth was driven by strong volume growth. The gross profit for the quarter was at 89.9 crore, which was up 10.6% when compared to same period last year and 25.9% on sequential basis. The gross margin for the quarter was at 40% compared to 43.6% in Q4 FY23. Lower gross margin is on account of unfavorable product mix. Moving on to EBITDA for the quarter was at rupees 43.2 crore, up 5.9% YOY basis and 62.8% on sequential basis. As guided in previous conference call, EBITDA margin continued to strong sequential growth trend, coming in at 19.2% for the quarter, which is down by 269 basis point on YOY basis and expansion of 326 basis point on a sequential basis. EBITDA margin were driven by operating leverage, lower freight and other cost. PAT for the quarter was at rupees 25.7 crore compared to rupees 27.1 crore in Q4 FY23. PAT margins for the quarter were at 11.4%, lower PAT margin for the quarter were driven by higher depreciation and finance cost. Moving on to FY24 updates. Revenue from operations for FY24 was at 717 crore, up 16.3% as compared to 617 crore in FY23. Gross profit for FY24 was at rupees 305.8 crore, up 7% on YOY basis. The gross margin for FY24 was at 42.6%. EBITDA for FY24 was at 128.5 crore, up 4.8% as compared to 122.6 crore in FY23. EBITDA margin for FY24 was at 17.9%. Adjusted PAT for FY24 was at 80.8 crore, with adjusted PAT margins of 11.3%. Adjusted PAT figures exclude one-time full impairment of investment in JV Ami Onco Theranostics LLC. With that, I request our Vice President, Mr. Abhishek, to discuss the financial view. Over to you, Abhishek.
Thank you, Bhavin Bhai. Good morning, everyone. I'll briefly touch upon the key financial highlights and other business updates. Export for the year was 56%, whereas domestic business was at 44%. On a cash flow and balance sheet side, even during this difficult year, we have been able to keep tight control on our working capital cycle, leading to strong generation of cash from operating activity, which tuned up to 125.2 crore. This was driven by sharp improvement in the debtor cycle. Coming to CapEx, total CapEx for FY24 was 280 crore. Out of those 280 crore, 230 crore was towards Unit 2 Ankleshwar CapEx, and remaining was regular maintenance and other CapEx. Out of 310 crore CapEx planned for Unit 2 Ankleshwar, we have spent around 240 crore till end of FY24. For the year FY25, we are expecting CapEx to be around 250 crore. Split of the current CapEx will be around 70 crore is the pending CapEx of Ankleshwar Unit 2, around 100 crore CapEx related to electrolyte additive and related infrastructure, and 50 crore CapEx towards the captive solar power plant. Remaining around 40 crore maintenance CapEx will be for the FY25. On a borrowing side, total long-term borrowing for the year-ended FY24 was 114 crore. Cash and cash equivalent during the year, at the end of year, was at 53 crore as of 31st March 2024. On the ESG side, I am also delighted to announce that we have achieved gold medal accreditation by EcoVadis. We extend our sincere thanks and congratulations to the entire Ami Organics team for their remarkable feat in obtaining the gold certification within just 3 years of initial audit by EcoVadis. Despite being in the chemical manufacturing industry, we remain committed on the ESG goal, propelled by an intensified focus on green chemistry and green initiatives. This commitment underscores our proactive approach to environmental responsibility and sustainability. Before concluding, I'd like to highlight that, as our MD also highlighted, we are hoping for strong growth of around 25% in FY25 revenue. But kindly understand that, in the past also, our H1 and H2 revenue ratio was around 45-55. Now, given we are expecting CDMO contract commercializing in H2 FY25, the split will readjust to 40-60 ratio. In short, we will see growth in H2 of FY25, which will overall drive the growth for the year. With this, I request the moderator to open the floor for the question and answer session. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Sudarshan Padmanabhan from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question. So my question is to understand what would be the utilization across your specialty chemicals and the pharma intermediate plants?
Abhishek, can you take up this question, please?
Yes. On pharma intermediate side, let me tell you that the unit one at 13 is less than 2% of the total capacity in FY24. And it is for specialty chemical, where is the overall capacity utilization level is 50%. Unit 2 is just has started, so we are not commenting on unit 2 capacity. The capacity utilization will start in FY25 onwards.
Mr. Sudarshan? Can you please unmute your line from your end? There is a lot of disturbance.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, there is a lot of disturbance from your side.
Okay, is it better?
Yes, sir.
Because
it's now better.
So my second question is to understand the operating leverage and the margin. Because in the fourth quarter, you know, we have basically seen 19% margin despite of gross margins being lower. So while we are talking about 25%, I mean, I would understand that the growth in EBITDA and profitability should be much higher, given that, you know, as this, you know, 70% utilization goes up and as the unit 2 increases, your margins will also kind of improve substantially. So can you give some color on what is expected in margin expansion?
Sudarshan, we have seen a progressive growth on improvement in margin. So last quarter we have achieved 19.2% margin with better utilization. See, even if our gross margin is little suppressed, as we have already explained in past conference call, due to this pricing environment, with improved utilization and other things, we'll see steady growth in improvement margin from here now onwards.
Any number that we have in mind, sir, in terms of margin? I mean, would it be, you know, upwards of 20%? Because that is what we were, I mean, a couple of years ago.
So, as we say that we are on the growth trajectory and improving our utilization, so we will see a better number from here onward on a margin front.
See, the initial intention is to go back to the our historical margin level, and from there it will go up.
Sure. One final question before I join back with you. It was happening to see, you know, several process patents being filed. If you can give some color with respect to, you know, what is the, you know, commercial value? I mean, what is it that we can derive in terms of monetizing some of these patents? You know, what is the uniqueness of, you know, some of these patents that we have developed?
Yeah, I will take up the question. The patent, process patent the main intention is to avoid the competition as well as give the leverage of generic manufacturer to have a process which is non-infringing. So there are two main concerns for which we are filing this kind of patents. And this is also helping us to take the preferred supplier for big generic player for doing the DMF filing. So this is how we normally do that. In the past, we were not doing that, and then we observed that after 2-3 years, we start to have facing the competition from local as well as the world market. So then we decide the strategy to protect ourselves from right from beginning, so that when the product get matured and when it become generic, we will be having a larger cake of the larger pie of the cake. So this is why we filing this kind of patents, and value-wise, this patent can be helping us to get the better portion. That is the main aim in the product pipeline.
Sure, thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rikin Shah from the Boring AMC. Please go ahead.
Hi, Naresh bhai. Congratulations on a very good quarter. So my question was more on, you know, strategy side. So now we have four different verticals: advanced intermediate, Gujarat Organics, electrolyte additives, and Baba Fine Chem. So apart from the advanced intermediate segment, we don't have that deep of a history in the other segments, and they are sort of new for us. So naturally, there will be differences in customers and regulations. So considering, you know, that these verticals, we have ambition plans to grow, what kind of, you know, team-related changes and hiring are we doing here?
First of all, thank you, Rishim bhai. See, each and every vertical has a huge potential to go upside. And like advanced pharmaceutical intermediate businesses, highly mature and having full strength with the manpower and everything. Whereas the other three segments are right now becoming more in trajectory of growth and as well as establishment. So, Gujarat Organics point of view, we had done all the integration, everything as per our systems and manpower, marketing, sourcing, everything is established. So now from a year onwards, it will be helping us to get more. And you can see also in this quarter, we have an incremental growth in sales trajectory as well. Whereas the Baba Fine Chem is a very niche area where we have a very specific established manpower is there, which is under integration process, and that will be once we do full integration, and then we already started marketing promotion of that product to other geography, but that is not that product are not the same product which we are selling to our core partner in US, but that also slowly when demands arise, we will start recruiting the people in that area as well.
All right, got it. So, with respect to Baba, you already explained. So, are we sort of, we can say, in a order book formation mode, like, you know, with these initiatives over time, we will sort of see that product book being built for us?
Yes, yes, definitely. And that is the purpose of putting or acquiring or growing the portfolio. See, all these are niche area, and particularly battery electrolytes, additives, as well as the secondary is a very new area. Not only for us as well as for India as well. So there we are going very cautiously and calmly. So we assess the opportunity, we try to make sure that opportunity is for the long term, and then we make our strategy so that it will be sustained for the longer time with our technology advancement as well as our niche capability and lot of things involved in that.
All right, thank you. Got it. And with just trying to understand the capital structure better for the future. So, you know, we have, you know, intimated the exchange about a potential QIP and also taken preferential investment. So, you know, can we get a little bit an elaborated version of, you know, what we are trying to focus here on?
I think Abhishek can take this question.
So as I already mentioned, we have very good growth plan in place with a strong expectation of revenue around 25%. And I also shared the CapEx figure with you on this. So to fund this CapEx partly, we need to raise the fund as well as we want to deleverage our balance sheet and we'll make the prepayment of some of our existing loan. This will help us to grab any opportunity in future in terms of organic or inorganic business. So this is how we want to structure our all capital structure to get aligned to our growth and investment plans.
All right, that's it from my end. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sudhanshu from Marcellus Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Sir, I have a couple of questions. First one,
can you please come near to the mic and speak?
Sure. Is it any better?
Yes, sir. Please go ahead.
All right. Okay. A few questions from my end. One is continuing on the same question as previous participant. In the exchange filings, we have notified of both equity raise as well as debt ceiling increase. So can you help us understand what is the rationale since Abhishek mentioned that some of the debt would be prepaid? So why we have increased the ceiling on debt?
So on a exchange filing, we mentioned that we want to increase the debt ceiling. This is to comply with the statutory requirement of the Companies Act, wherein because we have taken up some of the debt, for the purpose of expansion at Ankleshwar unit, and because of that compliance, we wanted this resolution from shareholder side. And for the equity side, as I mentioned, to align with our growth and investment plan.
Okay. So, sir, would it be fair to assume that we don't intend to actually utilize the debt ceiling to the extent which is allowed now? We would be primarily using the equity raise through QIP and preferential allotment for the capex that you outlined.
Yes, we will be raising equity fund, but we do not intend to hit that that limit of debt as of now, at least going forward for 2 years.
Okay. And you outlined a capex of 250 crores for FY25, and we already did a capex of 280 crores. So, leaving aside the maintenance capex, we would be incurring close to 450-500 crores of capex between FY24 and FY25 on the new projects. So, can you help us understand what is the peak asset turns for each of these capex plans that we have? Because this is substantial investment that we made in the last 2 years and planning to make in the next year as well.
So last year, if you see our revenue to net asset block is around 2.8 ton asset ton, and in current year also, if we exclude the CV and the last leg of capitalization of unit to Ankleshwar, our asset ton again is at 2.8 times. Going forward from next and year onwards, it will get suppressed little bit because of all the asset gets capitalized. But in next 2 years time, 2.5 years time, we are again expecting it to in the trajectory of 2.5 to 3 times the asset turn on the net block basis. Because we have some good contracts in hand for all of the business wherein we are doing capex.
Okay, this is useful. Now, one final question on the business side. Any update on the commercial supplies for Apixaban? And secondly, on Baba Fine Chem, we understand that integration and some other aspects are going on, but we see significant decline in the sales YOY for Baba Fine. So, can you help us understand why is that happening?
So, I will coming to Apixaban. Apixaban is a strong product for us, and it will be definitely growing starting from H2 FY25, and it will be going the peak on FY26-27 at the time of launching for the generic. We had an advantage in FY23 because of the pre-launching by the some of our generic manufacturer, but because of the lawsuit lost by them in few territories, it was a little bit on a decline side, but there is a firm demand, and for we are in part of more than 26 DMF of the customers, so it is good visible for us for Apixaban. Coming to what was the Baba Fine Chem. So Baba Fine Chem, this is a very niche area, and it is a very strong documentation process is happening, and for changing all the licensing, all the papers at the customer end, it is took a little bit longer time because we are creating a JV between Baba and Omni Organics, and that will be I think in this quarter one or quarter two it will be fully converted, and then the order start releasing for all the products. So we are making products for several applications. So some applications are faster, some applications are at a later stage using. So that will be little bit on a slower side. So that will be finished. We are expecting to be complete using this first half of this FY25.
Thank you very much for this explanation. Just one follow-up question on that. Baba Fine Chem, you are saying we are transferring the business from the standalone partnership business to this new JV that is getting created. And hence, there is a documentation timeline. Is that understanding correct, or am I missing something?
So so there are two aspects parallelly going on. One at the customer end, and second at India end as an operational and legal end. So the both are India operation is not hampering it. The hampering is the customer has to qualify us for all their applications and vendor qualification system. So it is not that similar kind of vendor qualification system like in pharma or surgery. it is a very different kind of qualification system over there, because it's a risk, and the utilization of the product is all our, it's a lengthy process, let me tell you like that, rather than, and one-on-one, if you want, I can explain you also later on.
Okay, sir. This is helpful. And we expect it to start normalizing from H2, even in this segment. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's all, this is how today's, whatever the backyard and whatever the commitments are happening from the customer as well. So this Q1 and Q2 will be the timeline. Within that, we might be closing all the approvals.
Okay. Thank you very much. All the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dhara from ValueQuest. Please go ahead. Yes, ma'am. Can you please come to the near to the mic and speak, please?
Is it better now?
Yes, ma'am. Please go ahead.
I would like to understand the highlights or the update or the progress that we are making with the MOU that we have signed with the Gujarat government for the electrolyte project. At what stage are we, and what is the progress on the project?
Let me take this. On the MOU announced with Gujarat government, let me, as I already mentioned, that we have tied with one of the largest manufacturer of the electrolyte solutions in the world. So at presently, we are working on the both the fronts to finalizing the capex for this project, as well as the governing structure of this joint venture. And we will be soon announcing something on this very soon on this. But as of now, we cannot share much on this.
Sure, sir. My second question was on your gross margins. So we have seen gross margins in the last 6 quarters consistently going down from 46% to now at 40% in Q4. While you have mentioned that it is because of unfavorable product mix, can you explain us more specifically which are these products that are causing pressure?
So Dhara, in last few quarters, we have already explained that there is some price pressure. We are discussing with our customer, and we have taken a hit on the top line also on this. Even in recent time also, we have converted few of our contract from CIF to FOB basis. So when there is on a CIF basis, you will get a freight in your top line, and expense will sit in the other expense. So 1% we see 1% hit is there on this account, and again there is on quarter on quarter there is a change in the product mix. We have some validation done for our CDMO business in this Q4. So putting all this together, this lower gross margin of 40% is coming up for this quarter, but going forward, we'll see a steady state recovery again in this as the inflationary and other pressure is stabilizing. So in future, we'll see a better number on a gross margin front.
Oh, thank you so much for the explanation. That's it from me. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jason from IDBI Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking the question, sir. Sir, just wanted to understand one thing that basically in the budget has gone from...
Sorry to interrupt you, sir. There is a break in your voice. Can you please repeat your question?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. So, sir, I'll just repeat my question. I'm saying that the goodwill, which was in FY23, around 20 crores, has gone on to 57 crores in FY24. So, just wanted to know the reason for this. Is it a position of Baba Chemicals, or is there another reason for this?
Yes. So, Jason, there is two things in this. In past year, goodwill was on account of our JV, Ami Onco Theranostic LLC, which we have fully provided during the current year. Now the amount which is appearing in the books is on account of investment in Baba Fine Chemicals.
Okay, so that's because of investment in Baba Fine.
Yes.
Right. And the other, the Onco-Theranostics goodwill is completely gone, right?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. And sir, in this quarter, you've seen good sequential recovery, and you know, I understand that, you know, it's been a difficult year, and just wanted to know, what has changed. Of course, you had gone back to the spot business and seeing competitive pressures outside. Now, just wanted to know that what has changed this quarter, and margins have also taken, you know, have increased to 19%. So overall, your margin stands on 18% for the full year. Now, just for, you know, going ahead, what we can take as sustainable margin, you know, the business and some update on the business and how price pressure is looking.
Jason, as we have explained earlier also, our first target is to go back to our previous base margin of 21. So that is our first target, and from there onwards we'll see again a good growth journey, but we'll see a steady state growth in the margin from here onwards now. So I believe the current year is the base formation, and we'll see improved and better number from here onwards.
Okay, sure, sir. Sir, my next question, just wanted to know, in terms of electrolyte additives business, VC prices, they have corrected very, very sharply, you know, going back, and sort of electrolyte additives, lithium, etc., also corrected very sharply. So, just wanted to know, in this business, of course, when you have started to invest, there must be a certain thing, but now as the prices have corrected very sharply, how do you see the plan going ahead for this business?
It's a really good question, I can say, but as always I'm saying, we had yet not done any capex, because considering all these approvals as well as strong demand in our hand, and our existing capacity can be sustained on that. But now we have some agreements are already in place, which we cannot disclose to the customer as per their requirement, and with that also there is a and mainly these agreements are for IR application, which is giving us a leverage of $1 or $2 against the China, so that helping us, and our process and technology is so strong, so we can able to sustain our margin with this decremental as well.
Okay, sure, sir. So in terms of the next question, sir, just want to understand, how much of exposure we have to darolutamide, and of course then it becomes like a Fermion contract. So in terms of revenue, so how do you see the ramp up going? Are we too much exposed on darolutamide, and what steps are we going to taking to diversify?
No, we are FY24, we are not that much dependent on darolutamide, even though we had done a good growth in that. And FY25 is a year of qualification, and it will be ramp up here. And from FY26, it will be go for the full total for us. And darolutamide is not a part of our system from FY23, but it is part of our system since FY10, 11. So we are very old supplier of this raw material to the Fermion.
Okay. And how do you see the pipeline going ahead, sir, in terms of various intermediates?
We have a strong pipeline. We have a lot of projects, products which are having long visibility for every year expiry, as well as some new CDMO entering into the basket, and then NCE program, as we stated several times in call as well as in investment phase. Every year we are getting 5 to 6 new NCE programs. So they are also giving us a good visit. So it's they are also moving from phase 1 to phase 2, phase 3 like that. So it's a mix of product mix where we have a long sustainable products. We have a high volume, some are high volume, and then these NCs and CDMOs. So it's a basket is mixed, and that's how we survive with this. And you can see consistently we are on our top line, we are working, we are consistently improving ourselves. If this top line was compromised this year, it will be a heavy lesson for us. This is all because of the 10-15 years, what we have done in our product identification, qualifications, development. Credit goes to all these areas.
Yes, sir. Sir, would it be possible to give a number in terms of parallel automation, how much does it contribute to the API business?
No, it's not possible to give the exact number on that, but.
Ballpark.
See, darolutamide originator has announced that they will go to $3 billion. If they are from current base to three times, they're expecting the growth. Similarly, we can able to get this kind of growth. Importantly, we have all five intermediates of key intermediates of that product. We have a larger expectation from darolutamide from the originator.
Okay. Sure, sir. Sure. Sir, just lastly, just wanted to understand, sir, when you said the CapEx plan utilization of unit and unit line wasn't very clear. If possible, could you just repeat those numbers, the CapEx plan for 2025 and 2026 on the utilization of unit one and unit two as well?
Abhishek, can you take up this?
On unit one, in terms of capacity utilization, it will be a kind of normal growth because at unit one, we do not see much of the opportunities available to expand the capacity further. Slowly, it will increase capacity, and that will hit the ceiling. It is already operating at 72%. Yes. At unit two, we already inaugurated and commercialized one production block for the particular customer. Going forward in next 3 years, we are expecting other two blocks also get filled up with new product with new other innovators, as well as the additional capacity utilization coming in from the existing products, which are not being catered at the unit one because of the capacity constraint at unit one. In 3 years' time, we are again targeting that capacity utilization should reach at an optimum level of more than 60%-65% in next 3 years' time. For unit three also, it is at underutilization of around 50% for FY 2024, which is again, we are growing at more than 20%-25%. Next 2-3 years' time, we're expecting that this capacity utilization should also ramp up in the same similar fashion as we are expecting in unit two and one also.
Okay. The current block is at unit two, is that right? This is the one which you have commercialized, the one.
Yes.
Production block which you mentioned, right? Okay.
Yes.
Sir, that's fine. Okay. Sir, finally, just CapEx numbers for 25 total, what you're estimating?
For which year? FY 2025?
2026.
You're talking about this.
CapEx, sir.
What?
The CapEx.
Plan.
What CapEx for FY 2025, 2026?
CapEx. As I mentioned during my opening remarks that we are expecting CapEx of around 250 crore for FY 2025, out of which 70 crore is the balance CapEx at Ankleshwar unit. 100 crore CapEx is expected at unit three for electrolyte additive business, and 50 crore CapEx for captive solar power plant. The remaining 30-40 crore will be for the normal maintenance CapEx. Similarly, the similar CapEx is expected for FY 2026 also for maintenance. For any additional project CapEx, we have not yet decided or announced any CapEx as of now.
Okay. Sure, sir. Just finally, sir, just one thing. This unit you mentioned, is that basically to cater specifically to the battery chemicals business only?
Yes.
Yeah. So
it will include one part will be there in maintenance CapEx for this, and there is a specific CapEx also for electrolyte additive.
Okay. No, sir, my question was, the unit three is only catering to battery chemicals, or is it catering to the API business as well?
Unit 3 is completely dedicated to our specialty chemical business, excluding semiconductor business, which is at Baba Fine Chem. So Unit 3 caters our business related to paraben, salicylic acid, and electrolyte additive business.
Okay, sure.
No pharma intermediate at Unit 3.
Sure. Okay, got it. Thank you. That's for my answer. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ridhima Goyal from Aquin B Ventures. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my question. I think most of my questions have been answered. It is just one question I'm left with is, I just wanted to know the volume growth which we have across all our segments, like the API in the spectrum, and what are the EBITDA margins and the EBITDA figures which we have reached to see. Hello?
Madam, can you take up the call, please?
Yes. Ridhima, can you come again?
So my question is, what is our volume growth in both our segments, both API and spectrum? And also the EBITDA levels, EBITDA margin levels, which we have achieved in both these segments.
Yes. So we have 100% volume growth for both these segments in the current year. And EBITDA margin for the specialty is at 68%, entire specialty, and for advanced pharma intermediate is at 19.53%.
Okay. I just wanted to understand one thing is, so we have seen the drop in the margin. So is it because of the increase in the second business on an overall revenue basis, or there are the increase in the revenue from some of the low margin APIs only?
So Ridhima, it has both the thing. There is a definite growth in volume of low margin specialty also, and last year, as we have mentioned in the past three quarters, was a difficult year for entire industry. So we have seen some pricing pressure also from our customer end in other segment also.
Okay, so what is the price growth which we have seen in this quarter?
Pardon?
What is the price growth which we have seen in this quarter, Q4?
So for, see, that's what I'm explaining you, that for Q4, growth is coming from volume only.
Volume only. So price has been is
stabilized. Price is stabilized.
On a year-on-year basis, right? Q4,
yes.
FY23 versus Q4, FY24.
Yes.
Understood. And one last question I just wanted to understand is, what exactly are we manufacturing in the electrolyte business? So is it the solution or the salt or the solvent? What are exactly the solutions? Are we planning to produce?
So in electrolyte, we have two segments. One is additive. So in the past, we have only two additives, two, three quarters back, commercialized like VCABC. But in last one year, we developed another around 8 additives, different additives required for different formulation. So these are the key additives of VCABC. Then there are so many other additives which are using by the different formulators, battery makers based on their formulation. So we are there was around 6 to 8 in that segment. So now we have more than 10 additives in electrolyte additive segment, which is mature enough now and going now for that only we are targeting to do some CapEx as well. And another segment is came up in the last year, this year, and that is for CDMO work for one of the solution manufacturer in India. So that is a different segment. So this is the second segment where we are working in making the final formulation based on this recipe of the CDMO player. And that will be second segment in electrolyte.
And we will be manufacturing additive only in the CDMO part?
No, CDMO is going to consume the additives as well as other salts and solvents and make the formulation. So it's a two different segments.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all the participants, please limit your question to 2 per participant. The next question is from the line of Krishan Parwani from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi sir. Thanks for taking my question. And congrats.
Sorry to interrupt you, sir. Can you come near to the mic and speak, please?
Yeah, is it better?
Yes, sir. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question and congrats on good set of number. Just one clarification. So of the 25% sales growth that you guided for FY25, how much, you know, would be from the firm orders in place that you have? Because I think you highlighted that you have firm orders for electrolyte additives as well. So can you just throw some light in that?
See, the visibility depends on, because we have a mix of product mix is very big compared to other player like us. We have more than 500 product, out of that commercially active in pharma is around 80 to 100, and then rest is also in specialty as well as in semiconductor. So it's a big basket. In that we have a firm commitments as well as firm orders coming from the contract as well as from the regular customers. So it's a strong visibility we have that if there is no any, like in last year, there is a top line pressure and that has reduced our top line. But if everything goes well, we are very strong from here that we will be definitely make 25% and maybe up if everything goes normalized.
Yeah, I mean, because I think your prices have normalized, so I think the volume growth should translate directly to the sales growth. So I mean, there is a possibility that you could probably outperform it. Is that correct?
Yes, perfect. We can state also this because, see, in these all four quarters, the important highlight is that every quarter we had increase in our volume. So if we are, our volume is intact, then only question is the price, which is offered by the customer. So that if your volume is losing, then definitely you can have a whatever will you do, but that will not be able to sustain because volume is decreasing. But our important message is that our volume is increased every quarter. So that will also give us an boost confidence that definitely we will make these numbers.
That's great, sir. I mean, would agree on the volume growth part. And thank you for taking my question and wish you all the best for future.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
The next question is from the line of Rohit Nagraj from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity and congrats on good set of numbers. So my first question is again on electrolyte additives. So on slide number 35, you mentioned that electrolyte additive sample approved at plant scale for 6 customers. So have we started the commercial supplies and what could be the potential for us in terms of the opportunity size? Thank you.
See, basically, commercial supply is not yet started because of the, we already started manufacturing of the electrolyte additives. We got some firm orders and based on that, we already started manufacturing of that. Now we are in process of final product because these all are depends on the formulation. Final quality is demanded by the customer. So customers green signal based on the different specification, we will do the final packaging for them and we will see that. That's why we say that by Q2, we will start commercial supply to the customer.
Right. And what could be the opportunity size for us?
So the timing, we had discussed several time on this subject since long, and when we started, it was $42. Now it dropped down to $8, $7. But still, we have a huge potential, and that's why we are also now started because we have a demands are incremental, and that's how we also now started. After 2.5 years, we started deciding to put up a larger capacity plant for both the additives.
Right. And the second question is again, there we have also mentioned that 7 new products are at various stages of qualification. So what are the timelines that we are looking at in terms of, again, getting approval from the customers? And are we targeting the domestic customers as well, apart from the global customers? Thank you.
See, additive is used for anywhere. So it's not that only made for export. It is also domestic. If somebody comes for the formulation in domestic, definitely we will be the supplying them as well. So it's not, there is no bar. And importantly, if we go this, our CDMO JV will be formed in this, in moving ahead, and then they will be also our customer as well in India. So we have a additives point of view, we are securing ourselves not only the export, but also indigenously our own CD, our own JV might be the one of the custom for us as well.
Sure. Thanks for answering all the questions and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vignesh Iyer from Sequent Investments. Please go ahead.
Congratulations, sir, on good set of numbers, and thank you for the opportunity. I wanted to understand on our new Ankleshwar facility, what is the break-even sales that we need to achieve? I mean, sir, what is the sales that we need to achieve to reach break-even margin? So let me percentage of utilization also would do. I mean.
So let me bring it to that Ankleshwar, we have already commercialized, we have integrated and commercialized one production block at Ankleshwar Unit 2, and the rest of the unit are still are not operational. So capacity utilization and the break-even point will depend on those commercialization of each and every block on a sequential basis. So we are expecting around 30 to 35% of the utilization at which we should be able to hit the break-even for particular block and not for overall the unit 2 level.
So if I understood it right, the block that has been commercialized now can hit break-even at 30-35% utilization, and any subsequent block would depend on the product, or say for that specific block, the the break-even would be different, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay, sir, got it. So one more question from my side would be, so I was looking to the balance, the P&L, and our net tax paid for this year is 41%. I understand we might have taken some MAT credit. Are we moving to a 25% tax bracket for the coming financial year?
When you see this number, basically for standalone AMI Organics Limited, rate is 25.16%. There is an exceptional item in the P&L. So if you, which is not allowed in income tax, so that is one of the difference. And there is a different tax rate for a Baba Fine Chemicals. So mix of this is showing you this number. So one has to understand that we are at 25.16% only.
Okay, got it. So what is the tax rate that is applicable to Baba Fine Chem? Baba Chem.
So it's a partnership firm. So tax rate is at 35%.
35%. Okay, right. Got it. Thank you, sir. That's all from my side and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rikin Shah from The Boring AMC. Please go ahead.
Hi, Naresh. Hi. Thanks for taking my question again. So, in terms of, you know, the process patent that we have achieved in Lumateperone, so my understanding is that this drug is sort of a combination for three particular diseases, which is schizophrenia, bipolar 1, 2, and MDD. So with this, the estimate sales of the innovator is very large. However, I believe that this could be an entry for us when the global patent would expire. So in that particular year, what sort of addressable size is possible from this product?
Thank you, Rikin bhai. Yes, you are right that you can see the antidepressant segment is growing worldwide. That segment is having slipped a lot of subdivision as well. And our most of the products which is we are working in that, we are in a key position in this segment as well. And Lumateperone is definitely a very good drug. and few of our generic manufacturers also filed, first to file in U.S. as well. So we are expecting lot of traction in this area, and it's a very high value, low dose molecule. So, and it's also our backup of Trazodone as well. So this is how we had posed this in product, and we started working since very long, and that's why we also get this patent protection as well. So that help us to get a bigger market. And as you rightly said, this market is originator growing very fast, and that will also help us to encourage us to get the bigger portfolio in 2029. It will be a larger volume for us, product for us.
Also, just expanding on this, so I just read into the patent, and I sort of discovered that our process of making this is, you know, perhaps helping with a better yield, and also compared to the catalyst used by the competitors, they use sort of Xanthophore and PDBA. Our catalyst is green, and, you know, so all these things, do they help in eventually with costing and, you know, becoming a preferred source of supplier?
Yes, that is the reason why. See, when product become generic, the biggest problem is the price pressure. And in that, if you want to sustain in that area, you should be a cost effective for your generic API manufacturer. So that is where Ami Organics is always focusing on all of our products, which we are working for the generic development, is like this, so that when these products are coming into the market, we will not be out, kicked out by the generic API manufacturer, because our cost is not competitive. So that is one of the reason, and it's a very unique chemistry we have developed, and to protect ourselves in this chemistry, that's how we went into the filing.
All right, got it. Thanks for, you know, commenting on that. Lastly, sorry for asking the same question in a different way. An earlier participant sort of asked how the ramp-up in Ankleshwar would be happening. So we understand that the one CDMO NCE contract is dedicated to the innovator. But with the other two blocks, we may be in contract negotiations with other, you know, CDMO players, or, you know, that will take its own time. So for the time being, once Surat is sort of at its peak utilization, do we have the basket of products to, you know, manufacture from the other two blocks?
Yes, definitely. That expansion is basically when we started, is to back up the Surat unit one only, because unit one is going to be mature, and we are, because of the, thanks to our flow chemistry introduction, we are reducing some capacity, and we are focusing in unit one. But basically, unit two, Ankleshwar, was a backup, further forward, support to the unit one product pipeline only, and that is why we had put up on unit two. Luckily, we got one block with the CDMO contract, and that help us to move faster in this area. But we are in very active negotiation and discussion and approval with some other CDMO originator, and sampling and these are happening, but that, you know, that process is little bit longer. So that's how we will get a few more products from CDMO in unit two, as well as our future product, which are coming in launching in 2025, 2026, 2027. That will help us to produce in unit. And normally we have to 3x in all our CapEx, and that will be also possible in this unit two as well.
All right. Thanks a lot, Ganesh bhai. That's it again.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pratik Oza from Share India Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes, sir, you're audible.
Yeah. So, sir, my question is on the CDMO part. So basically, CDMO remains a very lumpy business. So just wanted to know, what is the expected growth, we can achieve in FY 2025? And also wanted to understand whether we are in early stage molecules or we are into late stage molecules.
So it's a mix of that. We have our all, we are doing CDMO since long with big originators in Europe for their after expiry molecule sustainability. So that is the one segment. Whereas, we have several products which are in CMP program also, which is going forward into the launching area, where also we do some CDMO as well. And then all of a sudden, some originator capacity concern started. And like this, we have one of the biggest CDMO right now working for us. Sorry. So that also, so it's a mix of that. And we want to incremental CDMO segment in our portfolio. And that is where we are working in that. So from going onward, CDMO portfolio is a very sizable portion in our total basket.
Okay. So just one thing on that. So just wanted to understand. So on these stage molecules, typically the margins are higher as compared to late-stage molecules. Is my understanding right?
See, margin, obviously, CDMO has a little bit compromised in that because it's a completely tall manufacturing for the big player. But in that as well, also, if you have your own process or something newer technology, you can have a leverage in that. But because we have a mix of products where we have NC programs, where we have margin is very good, products which are going for the regulated market is a 2-3% up outside margin than the generic portfolio. So that is why we have a, and then importantly, one should understand that we are not in API or we are not in formulation where we have a regulatory compulsion, a stronger compulsion leverage. We are in a bottom chain of the supply. So that will not give us more leverage in that. So that's how we are now starting putting ourselves in patent and as well as so that we can get a little bit advantage of that as well.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Thanks a lot. And all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraint, we will take that as the last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you, Ambit team, for hosting our conference call. Thank you, everyone, for your questions, and we hope we have been able to answer most of your queries. If we have missed out on any of your questions, kindly reach out to our investor relations team, and we will get back to you. Once again, thank you very much, and have a nice day, nice week. Bye-bye.
On behalf of Ambit Capital, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.